Tonight I want to talk a little bit about grace again, faith, the Word of God. I'm going to start off with this, if you have to have a title for this, grace, active or passive. Okay? Active or passive. And this applies to God's, not only God's grace, God's faith, and God's Word. You'll see they're interchangeable and how they work in harmony. You cannot really have one without the other. You'll see how well they work. You can write them down and look them up later. But basically, I'm going to quote a few scriptures. I'll give them to you. You don't have to turn to these. But we remember Ephesians 2:8. We are saved by grace through faith. So right there we see two means of salvation. You're not going to be saved. You're not going to enter in even to the covenant of God or even into the family of God without grace being extended or without faith. So we'll see that faith is dependent too on grace. See, God has to offer something. God has to make the first move toward the enemy. You know, and we'll see as we grow in the Lord that in every spiritual matter, grace must be given to some degree, and that it must be responded to. So basically, when we are saved by grace through faith, that grace is passive. Doesn't mean it's dead. It means thus far, it's simply been given. And if it's not received, it's passive, basically. When it's received, it becomes active. It does something. And we see that by grace, God offers a means to himself and to salvation, and the channel is through faith. But see, again, the faith is not even given apart from grace, and then faith does not come apart from the Word. And we'll see that in several scriptures you study, you'll see that we're told we're saved by grace, you're told we're saved by faith, you're told we are saved by the Word of God. Isn't it interesting? Why? Because they're working. You know, they each have their place. Man cannot be saved until God did what? Makes the first move. That is grace. That is God extending himself. But he must be what? Received. Faith must be received and believed in. The Word of God must be received and acted on. And you'll see in every case, if it's passive, it won't help us. See, it doesn't mean it's not real. It simply means it hasn't produced anything, that something has happened. And until the Word of God, the faith of God, and the grace of God is received, it does not become active. And therefore, it does not work for us. It isn't that it's not there. It simply will not work for us. So we see something has to happen. And we want to remember this. Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing what? The Word of God. There is where, too, you could say in a simple term, when we use the Word of God, we use it generally as logos or rhema. So in a sense, the logos word is passive to us until it's received properly. Then it becomes rhema. It becomes what? Alive, active. It's the rhema word that saves us, not the logos. See? The Holy Spirit has to do something with the Logos. And he only acts according to what? God's grace offered, faith given and responded to, and it has to be based on what? Truth, according to God's Word. Now, it's interesting. People talk a lot about God's grace and love, and we should too. But you know, you can go to hell having God's grace and love extended to you. Because it's the truth. It's the Word of God that will have the final say, so. Isn't this interesting? And so it must be what? Received, lived, and acted on, or what? God's grace and love will not be manifested. It will not work. It doesn't mean that God has died or that his grace is dead. It's dead toward who? Us. See, God extends himself by grace even to the wicked. He said he's done this. He loves even the sinner. He so gave his son by what? Grace. This is the means. But until they believe the word of truth, till they submit to the word of truth, they're still on their way to hell. What will judge people in the final judgment? Not the grace of God, not God's love for people. What the word of truth. What did he say? Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will not. So it's important that we understand the word. But see, apart from grace and faith, the word cannot become rhema. But you see, there's always the divine and the human response to what God's doing. Again, you'll never see in spiritual matters all God or all man. You never will. You'll see man yielding to God. You can use many words for that. Man working with God. Man obeying God. Man receiving. You'll see all the terms that the apostles use and Christ himself used. Continuing, abiding. We will see these are statements that we have to do something. John 8:51. Jesus said, whosoever keeps my words will never see what? Death. Little path. What is he saying? He didn't say he who hears my word. A hearer is what? The word is passive. See, it gets back again. The word is what? It's passive. It means thus far it hasn't done nothing. It's been presented. You know, it's the word what? Sown. But it still hasn't done something to us. So what is he saying? He that keeps my word. He didn't say he who hears my word. No, when Jesus talks of the word hearing, it has to be heard to obey. Heard to receive, not to hear mentally. See, this again is mental assent. Never save no one. We must have mental assent, but we must act on mental assent. See, a lot of people have the passive word of God, passive grace, passive faith, and they'll go to hell with it. Because it will not work, it will not change, and it's not alive. See, it hasn't been received properly. It hasn't changed what the word is. It has not affected them. And so we want to be careful that what? This is everything. Like I say, until God's word does become a rhema, it is the letter of the law. Which does what? Kill us. It can do nothing. See, we're not told to run around and give scripture to people. We're not even told to run around and give tracts and Bibles. See, we can't get... The exception to the rule does not negate God's general way. He said, basically, people are going to be saved through the foolishness of the message preached, is what he meant. Why the message preached? Because in many cases, people are not going to read their Bibles, and when they do, it's going to be foolishness to them. What does he do? He gives grace to the minister of the word. And when the minister, whether it's a witness, an evangelist, or any of us, when we give the word by the Spirit, then God is offering grace and faith. Then the word can become what? Received. It can change. And see, this is why I don't put too much, tell people, read the Bible, read a book. No. There's the exception to the rule, but it's not the general rule. The general rule is what? God anoints people to proclaim his message. And many people are proclaiming a message that God is not anointed. And many people are proclaiming a message when God has not sent them. And many people are proclaiming a message which is not the true whole counsel of God, and therefore God will not back it. People have been giving a half and a quarter gospel, and therefore it's not the true gospel. Half a truth is a lie in spiritual matters. We need to understand this. So we see why it's important that God extends himself through who? He gave the ministry. He gave the gifts for what? For the church. And as we get back into Romans, we'll see he gave them by grace and by faith. And you'll see the working of them will not work until both of those are in order. But remember, he's using people. So he didn't say, give the Bible to someone and they will be saved. He did not say that, did he? He said, the word must be proclaimed. And how will it be proclaimed? Through the vessel. Through the person who God has what? Moved upon. See, this is why it's important that we teach Scripture. This is why it's important that I have to teach you, even as the body of Christ. Because if I don't function in my office as teacher and exhorter, your instruction in Scripture is going to be lacking greatly. Because God has said what? He set some in the church. To do what? To move and to stir up. When the body of Christ comes together and these ministries are working, you're more likely to be moved on by God than you are by yourself. That's the norm. See, again, we're not negating the exception. We're saying this is the means that God has chosen in the body is to grace one another. And when we do not listen to the way and the means that the Spirit of grace moves, we are hardened and we can be blinded even as Christians, and we can fall away. Because again, he's saying something happens when the Holy Spirit is moving within his body, within certain gifts. Why? Because he wants to extend grace and faith, which is needed in every ministry and every day in our walk. We need what? Grace and faith. It begins before we are saved. Sanctification begins even then. Simply means God sets aside a person and starts to extend grace to them. They have not gotten to the place where they have blasphemed the Holy Ghost and despised the Spirit of grace, and he is acting. And it doesn't end until what? We cross over. We're going to see that saving faith is the same as living by faith. It's a life he's talking about. It's a person, you know, and it continues. We need to continually, you see, all through Scripture, we must keep receiving grace. We must keep receiving faith. We must keep receiving the Word of God. And see, a lot of people read the Word, but they don't receive it. They get a mental assent, and it never works. It's the letter of the law which killeth, because they're not submitting to it, they're not obeying it, but they will mentally acknowledge it is true. Remember what James says? The devils will acknowledge there is one God. And they'll go to hell acknowledging that. They know that fact, but it is not saving them, is it? But they don't dispute that fact. Hebrews 4. I want you to see it even in our prayer life, even in our walk with the Lord. Notice you're going to see the word faith and grace in these few verses. 4, verse 12. The word of God is what? Living and powerful. Isn't it interesting? From God's perspective, it is living and powerful. When the Logos becomes Rhema to us, this is when it is what? Living and powerful. Interesting. God said what? His word would not return void, empty, vain, but would accomplish something. And we're going to find, too, that it can be resisted and despised. As long as it's passive, something can be done to it. And it doesn't have to work. And it doesn't with many people. And we're going to see this. That God offers what? Salvation. Many are called, but few are chosen. Why? They do not respond to the call according to truth, according to God's word. They want to what? They want to serve God their way, will worship, or by the law, or by their own works. And see, this is what? Unacceptable. God will not what? Choose them. They have to respond properly to the call. Okay? All right. Notice verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast or firm our confession. He's talking about faith now. Notice he says what? The word of God is alive and powerful. Now he's saying what? We have to hold on to the word of our confession. He's talking about, and how do we do this? By faith. By trusting. By receiving. By believing. It's a continual life that he's talking about here. The living word. And he's saying we have to hold on to what was given to us. Why? Because the enemy, the world, and the flesh is going to do its utmost to rob you of it. And they can do it. And this is why the believer has been told about the armor and how to use it. And he's been told many things, but he's been told the consequences if he does not do it. So we see the enemy can rob us. So what are we to hold on to? Another scripture says what? Peter said, hold on to eternal life. Well, he obviously didn't believe, if it was Peter, did he, that once you got saved that you didn't have to worry about anything anymore. He never believed that. They talk progressively. They talk futurely, too. And they talk about those who don't hold on. You notice the scripture says it's the called, the chosen, and the faithful. You know, it's those who are faithful to the end. So you see the connection here. So notice we've had faith and the word, and then faith, but go on down. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with what? Our weaknesses, but in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Isn't it interesting? But notice up here, we're going to see later about weaknesses. What do we need for weaknesses? You're going to see what you need. Next verse. Let us therefore come with boldness, with assurance is what it means. And again, you see faith implied. To the throne of grace. Isn't this interesting? That the Spirit is called the Spirit of grace. And that God, everything He does is the meaning that is grace. Again, the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of grace. But notice we have to come to the throne of grace. Who's on the throne of grace? God the Father. He is the one who so loved the world that He gave His only begotten. He extended Himself. He is the one who's the Father of true believers and has entered into what? If you ask anything in the name of my Son, because you're in covenant, He was saying, what? I will do it. See, once you start understanding the covenant and what it implies and what it does not apply. But what is He saying? For weakness we have to come. And let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain. That we may what? What does it mean to obtain? Get. Well, we're already saved, aren't we? That's true. And we have to walk in it. And notice what He says. To obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Why do you need grace? And this is active grace. See? If you come in faith, in your weaknesses, you're going to rely on what? On the strength of God. So you're going to see that fact. If you hold on to your confession, I believe in Jesus, the Son of God. Without Him, I can do nothing. That's what you hold on to. Because you're not going to get grace any other way. He comes to who? The weak. He said He will give strength to him that is weary. If you're not weak, don't come. See, we're seeing that our reliance must be what? On the Lord. But what is He going to do? He says, we come to the throne of grace. It's passive. God's waiting. But nothing happens until we come what? With assurance. Confidence. It's really the word again, faith. We come in faith. Asking. And what are we asking for? Something to help us in our weaknesses. And what is He talking about? Being tested and tempted. You're being tested and tempted for what? To fall away. To let go of your walk. To let go of your faith. Your saving faith. See, people don't like that, but that's what He's talking about. But He said, if we come to God through the throne of what? Grace. We will get mercy and grace to do what? In time of need. It means it will meet whatever it is. Whatever the weakness is, God is saying what? Then I will give grace. Grace as enabling. Grace as strength. We'll see it's grace as the power of Christ is called grace. Do you see? You see all three here put together. I'm going to quote this one. You don't have to turn to it. But Matthew 7, 24 and 26. Remember, these are the scriptures when Jesus said, and He just finished a whole discourse on people who called themselves Christians and did not do His will and yet were ministering. And He denied them as even being His. And yet they thought He was theirs. And they would say, Lord, Lord. And He says, you cursed my Father, depart from me. But they believed they were His. They had a passive faith. They had a false grace. And it wasn't based on the true word of God. And they didn't get into the kingdom. And it shocked them. And then He proceeds from that statement into this one. And He said, he that hears my words and does them. Isn't it interesting what He says? He that hears my word. When you hear the word, what is it? Passive. It's mental assent. Yes, that is what it says. But it don't do anything. What does He say? But does it. Now we're talking about what? True action. We're talking about work. Oh, people don't like that. This is spiritual work. But He's saying this is where life comes. Not mentally saying, oh, that's true. You don't go no further. But He says, and does my work. He says, what? This man who hears my word, He says, my sayings, that's what His word is. And He says, and does them. He says, I will liken you to who He is. He is like a man who's building his house on a rock. What is He saying? This man's building is on something firm that will not be what? Moved. The word of God is called a rock. The word of God is called a sure foundation. And what is He saying? If you hear my words and you submit to them, yield to them, receive them, obey them, continue in it. Any other word you want to use, He says, then you are building on a rock. But He says, he that hears my words. He didn't say they didn't hear it, did He? Many people hear the word of God. doesn't change them. Many people sit and listen to excellent ministers and teachers and walk out just as dead as when they got there. I've seen it happen. See, they still got mental offense. You can believe perfect doctrine and believe the scripture perfectly and go straight to hell. See, we want mental assent. We want knowledge of the truth. But we want what? Knowledge of the truth that's alive. And then he says what? And he that hears these words of mine, you've heard it, you give mental assent to them. And he says, and does not do them. He said, I will liken him unto a man who builds on what? Sand. What is sand? Something unstable. Something not sure. Something not firm. And what did he say? That man's house will crumble, and great will be its fall. Many people have mental religion, mental Christianity. They have a grace and a faith and a belief that's simply passive. You've got 2 billion people in the world that claim to be Christians. Do you believe that? No, I most certainly do not. And they'll acknowledge, most of them, that Jesus is the Son of God. The last CNN poll at Easter time said that 86% of Americans believe that Jesus died on the cross and rose again, and he was the Son of God. Do you believe 87% of Americans are born-again believers? I don't. But they believe it mentally. See, it's passive. But it hasn't affected them, and it hasn't changed them. And they're going to be the ones who say, Lord, Lord. They're going to believe mentally he's Lord. And he's going to say, what? Ye cursed of my Father. And they're going to be taken back. See, they were deceived. Because they believed and they wanted to hear. That, well, all I have to do is believe in God and that's sufficient. That's what the scripture says. See, again, they don't understand what the word believe means. They go and research that, they'll find that the word belief, when it's used in all the Gospels, basically does not mean mental assent. It means commitment to the mental assent. It means to submit and fall in line with what they believe. So that makes the meaning belief mean a little something different, doesn't it? Okay. James. Let's go to James. Back up. We'll go back. Yeah, let's go back. James chapter 1, verse 21, the latter part of the verse, going down to 25. Receive with meekness. Receive with what? Meekness, the opposite of pride and self-assurance. See, this is what it is. Why? Because God resists who? The proud and the self-asserting and the independent. He does not. Then in Ezra, James says he will resist them, but he gives grace to the humble. So what is God's attitude toward arrogance and pride? It don't matter if it's an unbeliever or a believer. He will resist it. See? But to the humble, and this is why he says here, receive with meekness, with humility. What do you receive? The Word of God. What God says. And notice what he calls it. The implanted Word. He didn't say receive with mental assent, Scripture. He didn't say receive and believe it in your head, but you don't ever have to act on it, just believe it. He did not say this, did he? He said what? Receive with meekness the implanted Word. What does it mean? The Word you received was passive, and when you received it, it became implanted, it became what? Active. Then it was real. See, then the Word was what? Alive and powerful and able what? To do something. This is what's called abiding in the vine. This is called what? Without me, you can do nothing. James, chapter 1. We're in the last part of verse 21. We're going down to 25. But notice what he says. Receive with meekness the implanted Word, which is able to save your souls. Did you know the passive Word is not going to save your soul? This is going to be the people who say, Lord, Lord. They believed, but it didn't become a part of them. And it did not save their soul. What is he saying? This is the kind. What Word is going to save people? Not a mental belief in who Jesus is. Not a mental reception. Not a one-time experience that is not being lived out. No way in Scripture. The implanted Word is able to save the soul. And what is the implanted Word? It's the branch remaining in the vine. And as long as it remains in the vine, what does it do? It abides in God's life. It abides in God's Word. We're going to see this. You cannot have eternal life and not abide in the words of Christ. Christ himself said it was impossible. He links his Word with himself and with life. And many people are going to say, Lord, Lord, and he is going to say, ye cursed of my Father. Why? Because they had mental assent, but they did not fall in line. They believed what they wanted to believe. They believed what they were told. And the devil accommodated them. And the spirit of truth did not open the word to them. The spirit of truth, what? Sent them a strong delusion because they refuse the word when it's given. See, this again is the danger that when God extends himself by grace and offers faith and a person resists it, the word becomes what? Dull. The word blinds. They can't understand the word spiritually. Oh, they might understand it mentally. They may have some head knowledge. And they can't rightly divide scripture. And the most intellectual people I know that have come out of seminary are often the most stupid people I've ever met in my life when it comes to scripture. Which proves the very fact. You're not going to rightly divide scripture with your head and with your mental assent if the Holy Spirit does not give you grace. And if you don't open your eyes, I don't care how brilliant you are, the scripture says the God of this world will blind you lest they can see, so they cannot see. The veil will come right back over their eyes and they will haggle over scripture, but they will leave this world without eternal life. And they will say, Lord, Lord, and be horrified at the day of judgment. So it's the engrafted word which is able. That's another translation, but it means implanted. It comes into us. We're grafted in. It's able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word. See, this is what he's calling it. When you receive the implanted word, what are you? You are a doer. When you are in the vine, what do you bear? Fruit. You are a doer. You are a worker. You're called a worker. People don't like that word. I love it. Worker. Jesus, it's interesting. He likened God, and he said to his two sons, go in my vineyard and work. Why are people afraid of that? And when he came back, and he committed the talents, the king, and this represented God, and the man didn't work, he was cast into outer darkness and called a lazy, wicked servant. Titus talked about them. It says, professing in name, mental assent to who God is. He says, but in works, they are an abomination to God. Isn't this interesting? In works, deny him. It says, being an abomination. The word means detestable to God, the people. Isn't it astounding? People don't like that scripture, do they? Now, notice what he says here. But be a doer of the word and not a hearer only. What are you if you're a hearer only? Passive. You have passive faith. You have passive grace that hasn't done nothing. You have a passive word that doesn't produce life. And you're going to be one of those who says, Lord, Lord, and be deceived. And notice, he's going to tell you what's going to happen. He said, be ye a doer of the word and not a hearer only, deceiving yourself. What is he saying? You're going to deceive yourself. If what? If you claim to have grace and faith, and you're not a worker, and you're not a doer, and you're not a fruit bearer, what is he saying? You're false. Because the implanted word produces what? Fruit. And it produces good works. And they are interchangeable. It's interesting. You study scripture. Peter talked about those not making it to heaven because they were unfruitful in every work. Isn't it interesting? Unfruitful. Paul said the same. Okay? So we need to say what scripture says. He says, for anyone who hears the word and is not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. What is he doing? He means you go up to the mirror and you mentally do what? You assent to what it says. You know? And he says, and that's about all you get. It doesn't change you looking in the mirror. We like that word. It's called, why do you think they call them vanities? Because it's vain. It shows what? Something on the surface. You know? Word of God is where? Implanted. It does a little more. You see, that's why it's called vanity. It's empty. And he said, if you hear God's word, that's what you're doing. You're walking up, looking in the mirror, seeing some truth, mentally acknowledging it's the truth, but you're not acting on it. You're not improving what's there. You're not trying to change what's there. And notice what he says you do. He is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror, for he observes himself, he goes away, and immediately forgets the kind of man he was. What has he got? mental assent to God's word, the word has not acted on him. It's not convicting him. It's not exhorting him. It's not warning him. It's not telling him the truth. And what does he do? He forgets. And what does God say is going to happen? He will send them a delusion. And they won't know God's word. Isn't it astounding? That was Eve's sin. And when Eve defended herself to God, in the original it says, I did eat, for the serpent caused me to forget. What did she forget? To observe the word of God and keep it and stay with it. And what does it say the serpent did? She said, he caused me to forget. What is he saying here? This is what happens to the person who hears only the word and is still passive. Okay? But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty, are Christians under law? They most certainly are. They're under the law of liberty, which is called the law of Christ, which is called grace. You know, where do you find, and when we get to Galatians sometime, you don't find it there. The law of liberty was not a license of sin. It was the power to do good. Is this astounding? See how people twist scripture? Well, I'm under liberty. I'm not under law. You're never under liberty to sin. Or you're back under the law of sin and death. Isn't it astounding? They don't quote that one. Liberty to do what? Whom the Son sets free. It's free indeed. And we'll come to that scripture again. John 7. Gospel of John 7. Before you go there. Well, you can go look there, and I'll go to one more. I wanted to get to the end of 25. Still in James. It says what? He who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it. Isn't it interesting? What is the law of liberty? You have to continue in it. It's hearing the word and what? Doing it. He called that the law of liberty. How about all these people who are telling you they're under grace and liberty? And they're not under law, and they have a license to sin. See, because they have been taught by false shepherds. No, we don't have liberty to sin. We have the power and liberty to obey what God requires of us. That's why the Holy Spirit was given. Not to excuse us. You know? Isn't it interesting? So what does he say? The law, and continues in it. And it's not what? A forgetful here. People tell me, how many times have you heard this? I have people come to my meetings all the time, and over the years, we'd say many leave. Because their complaint about me is I repeat things too much. And it's interesting, almost without exception, the people who leave, I thought they're the very ones that need to stay. Because everything I've repeated, they've never received. They've received where? With mental assent, and they've never put it into practice. And therefore, they cannot endure the Word of God. And they weary with it. And so they go looking for what? A new teaching. A new fuzzy. You know? They want to go to a meeting where they can be slain in the spirit and crawl around on the stage and bark like dogs. Because they don't want the Word of God. And the devil will accommodate them. They'll get into a lot of false stuff when you don't want to hold to the truth. The devil will accommodate these people. I ain't interested in people's experiences if they don't measure up with the Word. And if you want to do stupid things while you're praying, I don't care if you do cartwheels. But you better be submitting to the Word of God. And what you're doing better be confirmed by God's Word, or I don't have to receive it. And I ain't worried about grieving the Holy Spirit. I grieve the Holy Spirit by not exposing this false teachings and these heresies and the silliness. By putting up with that, these shepherds are quenching and grieving the spirit of truth in the name of fanaticism. And false signs and wonders is what they're doing. I better stop before I get into another little lesson. Okay. So he says what? He is not to be a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. Notice now he doesn't say the word. A doer of what? The work. What is he? Are you afraid of work? If you don't have spiritual works, you're going straight to hell. Did you know that? That's what James meant when he said a man is not justified by faith alone, but he is justified by works also. And he says, and by your spiritual works is what he meant. He wasn't talking about human works. He wasn't in conflict with Paul. He was saying, by your works, you prove your faith is active, not passive and dead. He said, faith without works is dead. It's passive. It produces nothing. But he says, a doer of the word, and not a forgetter. And he says what? A doer of the work. Isn't it interesting? He wasn't afraid of work. This one will be blessed in what he does. Who's going to be cursed? Those who do not do the will of my Father. He says, you are cursed of my Father. Isn't that astounding? I like James. A lot of people don't like James because they don't like Scripture. Because they're caught off in winds of doctrines. I'm not afraid of any of the word. It's harmony. It's perfect harmony. If God opens your eyes. If you have a problem with Peter and James, it's because you don't know Scripture. And you don't know how to rightly divide it. And you don't know that Paul and James and Peter and Jude and John were in perfect harmony. I see their perfect harmony. False teachers can't see it. That's why they try to do away with it. I don't. I'm afraid to do away. What does Revelation say? He tried to do away with his word. Take it away. He said, he'll take your name out of the Lamb's Book of Life. Isn't that interesting? What God says about tampering with his word. I don't tamper with it. If you don't understand it, leave it alone. But don't change it. Don't do what Peter said. They torture Scripture to their own destruction. That's just what they're doing when they don't want to take it for what it says. We need to take the word. The word is simple. The Scripture says the word is plain to those who walk uprightly. The reason people can't see Scripture is because a lot of times they're not walking uprightly. They're worldly, carnal, and lukewarm, and they're claiming something that ain't right and ain't real or something they lost a long time ago and don't apply no more. And they're being deluded. But they've got mental assent. Oh, and they can quote Scripture too. And they can quote a lot of good Scripture. They're going to do them a bit of good. But they don't learn how to submit to the word of truth. And what does he say? He will be blessed in his deeds. He will be blessed in. And what he does. John 7:38. He who believes in me. He's not talking mental assent alone. The Scripture here, again, go back, do a word study. When Jesus uses the word believing in me, he means to be committed to and submitted to, not just receiving mentally. So this is a false lie that has been propagated. Multitudes of people believe Jesus died on the cross and rose again, and they're going to hell believing this. They have a mental assent. It ain't done a thing for them. He who believes in me as what? As Scripture says. See, a lot of these people are believing in Jesus, but it's not as Scripture says. It says their false teachers are telling them. It says their fleshly mind wants to see it, to look for loopholes and license to sin. That's why they can't see the truth. He says, he who believes in me, as the Scripture has said, out of his what? Heart, his spirit, will flow rivers of living water. And he's saying what? But this he spake concerning the Spirit, whom those who would believe in would receive from him. What was he saying? If you believe in me as the Scripture says, you're not going to have a passive word, a mental assent. You're going to have what? A living word in you. You're going to have the active person of the Holy Spirit. You're going to have true faith and true belief. Notice he says, as Scripture says, not as false teachers say. Shall we go a step further? Go to John 8. Chapter 31, verse 31. Then Jesus said to those who believed him. Jesus said to those Jews who believed him. What did they believe? He said what? They believed him. They not only, we'll find if you read the whole chapter, some of them backed up. But it said some of them, it said what? They believed him. They gave mental assent, and some of them, it worked, and some of them it didn't. But go to the next verse. If you remain, if you continue, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. What did he say? If you, now don't just blow the theory of our false teachers who tells you that you can be a believer without being a disciple, that you can be saved, but Jesus doesn't have to be Lord. Obviously, Jesus linked them together here, didn't he? He made a good distinction here. He said the Jews who believed in him. He didn't say they had were disciples right here, did they? No, he said those who believed in him received his message. What does he say? If you, that's who he's talking to. He didn't use the word disciple yet, did he? If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. Notice how he used believer and disciple as the same interchangeable. The same as he used what? As we've been studying. Disobedience, he interchanges the word with, Hebrews does, as Paul does, with what? Disobedience is the same as unbelief. See, Paul used it interchangeably. Jesus used it interchangeably. Let's get back to Scripture. If you believe in Jesus Christ, you have begun your discipleship. And discipleship implies lordship. You cannot have Jesus as your Savior and not have Him as Lord. No more than you can have faith without works. Then you are a dead believer. And you're not a true believer. If you're not what? A disciple. Isn't it interesting? Isn't Scripture plain? You don't need to read anything in it. But let me tell you, your false teachers, well, they'll spend three chapters telling you it don't mean this. And they'll torture Scripture too. Believe it when it's plain. Don't be looking for loopholes. The devil will see that you get them. Before we take our break, next verse. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. What it makes you free? The truth. And the truth tells you what? If you're a true believer, you're truly my disciple, then you continue in my word. He didn't say you had a one-time experience and that's it. He didn't say you went down to the altar with me and said, I do, and then you went and lived with your adulterous girlfriend. Uh-uh. He said, what? When you went down to the altar with me, you committed yourself to me. You said, I'm ready to give up my will and my life and exchange it for yours. I'm willing to put down my life and take up yours. That's what true belief means. Anything else is mental assent. This is what they believed. And he says, if you continue, you've got the real thing. And some of them challenged him later and backslid. They didn't hold on to that mental belief very long. Jesus makes it plain. Let's take a break.